You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Disney's new streaming service has put warnings at the beginning of some classic movies, indicating that they might include racist or otherwise offensive elements. But the decision to attach a message saying that this film may contain outdated cultural depictions has been met with both praise and concern. So are there Disney movies you loved growing up that you won't show your kids? Which movies did you see with fresh eyes recently that struck you as problematic? Did you choose to get past it, or are you reconsidering what was once a classic in your mind? Join in 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Robert Thompson is a professor of television and pop culture at Syracuse University, and he directs its Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture. Bob, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
So some of these older films, like The Dumbo, like Peter Pan, come with a warning, and this warning says, this program is presented as originally created. It may contain outdated cultural depictions. And some see this warning as really passive. Others see it as progress. Where do you come in?
Well, first of all, you just read the entire warning. That's the whole text. This program is presented, that is passive, as originally created. Nobody says that it's presented as originally created by our company. This is a Disney stuff that we're putting this on. And it may contain outdated cultural depictions. So we can take that apart from the start to finish. Is presented, again, doesn't imply any agency. It's as though somehow this stuff just happened to be on their streaming service. They had nothing to do with it. It may contain outdated cultural depictions. It does contain outdated cultural depictions. There's no question about that. And calling those kinds of things cultural depictions, I guess that's accurate, but it's a pretty quiet way of saying it. Warner Brothers, when they released, it started streaming and on DVD, put some of their old cartoons on, which are filled with problematic stuff, had a very more detailed and I think more useful disclaimer at the beginning of their shows.
Yeah, can I read that? While these cartoons do not represent today's society, they are being presented as they were originally created, because to do otherwise would be the same as claiming these prejudices never existed.
Right. And that was, you're right, that's the Warner Brothers one. However, there was stuff before that. They may depict, again, we've got that may problem, some of the ethnic and racial prejudices that were commonplace in American society. And then they say these depictions were wrong then, and they are wrong today. And I think that was the important part of the Warner Brothers disclaimer, which is, you know, Disney's is implying that somehow all of this was fine when it happened. We live in a different time, and we have to warn you because these were made a long time ago. Warner's comes out and claims that they weren't right when they were made. We've become more conscious. We've grown up to realize that. And I think that's a much more important thing to put on a disclaimer than what Disney didn't put on theirs.
What do you feel about that word may? Like leaving the door open that, you know, this film to you may be perfectly fine.
Yeah, well, it's perfectly fine is one thing, because for many people, these kinds of things are perfectly fine. For others, they are very much not perfectly fine. So that, the disclaimer one way or the other, isn't going to be able to address personal taste. However, what both Warner Brothers and Disney is claiming is that they may depict some prejudices in the case of Warner Brothers things and culturally outdated stuff in the case of Disney's. There, the may is incorrect. I think it is they do depict. It's like walking out of the door in a thunderstorm and saying you may get wet. You are going to get wet, and they do portray these things. Whether or not that's going to bother the people watching it, that's a matter of their own personal biographies, I guess.
So do you know, is this a blanket statement on all of these older films, or are they picking and choosing here, Disney?
I think they're only putting them on films which have content that clearly are problematic. That's a good question, though. I haven't looked at one that doesn't have anything. I don't know if they're putting it on everything made before a certain date. But I don't think that is true, because we should have another conversation about how this is not something that had just has to do with programming made in the 1940s and 30s and that kind of thing. There are many, many shows, Seinfeld, Friends, How I Met Your Mother, programs that were made which have episodes, you know, as recent as 5 years ago, even more recently, that have got all kinds of problems as well. I was watching an old Seinfeld the other day, and one of Seinfeld's dates has this incredible toy collection, but she keeps them all in their boxes. He wants to play with them, so he goes over to her house, and he drugs her with a sleeping pill, so she falls asleep and he can play with her toys. I mean, that's pretty disturbing. The Yellow Face episode that How I Met Your Mother did, all that It's Pat stuff from Saturday Night Live. So we think that this stuff is only going on and problematic in, you know, Dumbo made in the 1940s. I think we should probably have warnings on some stuff that was made a lot later than that.
We're talking with Bob Thompson. He teaches mass communications and media studies at Syracuse University. You can join in on this topic. Are children too young to connect the dots on some of the problematic messaging you notice now as an adult? Do you think there's a way to consume these films in a responsible way, or do you think they should be removed from Disney's streaming service altogether? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Bob, you bring the contemporary issues to the forefront here, but let's look at some of these old films, starting with Dumbo. What are the problems in this film?
Well, one of the big problems in the film is there's a bunch of birds singing, and there's a black bird, and his name is Jim Crow. And, of course, that's a joke, a verbal joke made on Jim Crow laws and all of that kind of thing. I will say right off the bat that I am very much against the idea of making these things go away. And apparently Disney has got some kind of line for that, because Song of the South, in fact, has been out of circulation for a long, long time. I think probably over three decades. So it's interesting how, you know, Song of the South is too bad to play, but the other ones aren't. Now,
because
I agree that Song of the South is really problematic, but I don't think we should make these go away any more than I think we should take out of history textbooks really bad things that we as human beings have done. On the other hand, I think these warnings do, or can, if they were worded right, make the acknowledgement where one takes responsibility for the fact that these companies made these things, but to acknowledge that we have made some progress since.
So Song of the South, going back to that, it was taken out of Disney's streaming service. It criticizes or minimizes slavery. What are the issues with this particular film?
Well, it's a part of that whole, and most of the 50 years that minstrelsy was the major form of American entertainment, presents this idea in an entertainment format that life down in Dixie was wonderful, carry me back to old Virginia, and that those days of slavery were days of warmth and family and all of that kind of thing, and we have that presentation certainly felt in Song of the South as well. You ask an interesting question, though, about are kids old enough to get all of this? Certainly that Jim Crow thing would be a great way to teach a kid what Jim Crow actually means. I don't know if you're a three-year-old or a four-year-old watching a show about an elephant with big ears, whether or not that's going to actually actually register. So that's I think that's a decision that individual parents are going to have to make. On the other hand, I think to sit your kids in front of old Tom and Jerry movies or some of these kind of egregiously problematic programs that that Disney have without giving them any kind of context, I think is would be a problem in and of itself. And you can't expect a little kid to read a disclaimer. And even if they do read a disclaimer, those disclaimers, as we pointed out, are pretty much without teeth.
Well, let's get some context around Peter Pan. What is problematic with Peter Pan?
Well, there's, of course, the presentation of the Native Americans on Peter Pan, which are done in the standard stereotype of if you're of a certain age, as I am, American popular culture, you know, were things we saw all the time. The typical Native American with the feathered headdress and all of the rest of it, and the way the white characters appropriate the headdresses and the Native dress and all the rest of it. And there's a song, What Made the Red Man Red, which we could spend the rest of the time going through the lyrics of that one.
Disney has fielded criticism in recent years of how the portrayal of princesses needing to be rescued is handled. What do you see as issues in the way women are portrayed in these films?
Well, certainly. I mean, there have been dissertations and books and entire careers built on assessing this idea of the Disney princess, which, of course, as these other things we've been talking about, are manifest station in Disney films of things that were all over the culture in those times. Clearly, if you look at the evolution of the Disney princess as Disney went along, it has made, I don't know if I'd use the word progress, but it has changed as a response to those kinds of issues. I think there's still all kinds of problems with the presentation of the princess. Just like a comparison I would make with Miss America, which just aired last week or the week before. Miss America has done a million things to try to update its idea of gender and women and all the rest of it, but it's still Miss America. They still put a crown and you wear a sash and all the rest of it. The whole idea of princess movies are fraught with all kinds of issues. I don't think Disney is going to make a animated feature about Princess Diana anytime in the near future. And that's, of course, a modern American princess.
Bob Thompson teaches mass communications and media studies at Syracuse. We're looking at racial overtones in films. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about Walt Disney's new streaming service and what to do about classic films with outdated cultural references and racist overtones. It's a conversation here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Reaction to Disney's content warning has been mixed. Some media observers praise the fact that Disney mostly did not keep racist movies off the streaming service or change them to remove the criticized elements. Others felt Disney was not direct about what the content warning actually refers to. Disney chose vague language, wasn't explicit about its intended message. What do you think? Where do you fall? Do you subscribe to Disney Plus? Are you watching these classic films that have, you know, issues, themes? How do you handle them? We're at 800-642-1234. Bob Thompson stays with us. He directs the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. Bob, Walt Disney, who co-founded the Walt Disney Company with his brother, Roy, Walt Disney has been called racist. He's been called misogynistic, although his biographer and other supporters have disputed that representation. Do we need to stop and think about tracing some of this to the origin, the founder himself?
Yeah, well, that is a really difficult question. The whole, you know, what happens when bad people make good art? And I think first of all, I would start again with the whole thing we talk about with these culture, with these announcements, is that you don't make the material go away. That, I think, is never a good idea of pretending that it didn't exist. We have the same issue in a more extreme case, I guess, would be with Bill Cosby. What we have found out about Bill Cosby, the human being, what he is serving time for doing, of course, is reprehensible. At the same time, we cannot make go away the important things he did in the history of American television, which was really, really significant in a number of different kinds of programming. So I think yes, if one's going to look at this in a big culture in the larger context, Disney and what Disney stood for and what Disney thought and what he put into his company is important. At the same time, I don't really know what we do with that information, except bring it as a whole approach to the text to the film.
We have an email here from Paul in Eau Claire, who routinely uses Disney Plus for teaching moments with daughters. Just last week, Paul said he watched Pocahontas, paused to explain the propaganda elements that are anti-European. So Paul is watching and explaining at the same time.
Right, and explaining from the sounds of it from a different perspective than a lot of people complain about Pocahontas. He sounds like he's using it as a teaching moment for Pocahontas' anti-European messages, yeah, as opposed to its portrayal of Native Americans. And Pocahontas is a very complex film. You can look at that from all kinds of different ways in which it's doing representation, not to mention its fact of playing pretty fast and loose with the historical record.
Talking with Bob Thompson, media scholar at Syracuse, we're talking about outdated and racist references in Disney's archive. Bob, do the conversations we're having about these films now have you feeling a bit more optimistic and about how conscientious we are about the past and present damage that they do?
Well, I am. I mean, I think the very fact that we feel the need to, and I think most people, thinking people do, to label these things as, okay, look, you're not just falling on something that was made yesterday, here's the cultural context, implies that, in fact, we are more sensitive about these things, that we are not making the kinds of cartoons that Tom and Jerry was making many decades ago, or we're not making the kinds of things that we see in Dumbo and Peter Pan. And I think that's a good thing. One of the first movies you ever watch in a history of movies course is D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation. Mm. That movie ends with the heroes riding in like the cavalry to save the day, but the heroes are the KKK, literally the KKK. That movie ends with a vision of Jesus Christ happy that order has been put in the Reconstruction era South so that people of color cannot vote. That's really how that movie ends. We've certainly gone a long way since then. So the very fact that we're having this conversation, I think, there is some optimistic way to approach it, because we are thinking, I think, a little more humanely about these things.
Do you think that there are conversations inside these big media companies about what to do with their deep archives and how do they recycle them? I mean, there's money to be made by putting these films out there, and yet they also have to reconcile where we are as a society.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, once again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I don't think we want to take these things away. I think they're important, part of the historical record. But at the same time, I think some acknowledgement has to be made. And I think these messages at the beginning are not a bad way of doing it. I think they should just be a bit more careful as to how they word them, take the responsibility, and then go ahead and do it. I mean, so much of comedy in the history, especially of American popular culture, was based on racial jokes, of vaudeville. People specialized in all kinds of stereotypes. We have to see that as part of our history, but also see that it wasn't just, oh, those crazy people from the 1880s, that those kinds of portrayals had very real impact on our society and in some very negative kinds of ways.
Is there a responsible way then for parents to allow their kids to watch these films, or should they, try to address them in some way?
Boy, I don't know. I don't know that I'm smart enough to answer that question. I suppose that for the very young, everything you put in front of the very young, good parenting would require you to be doing a constant running commentary of it. But for one thing, most parents do not have the time to do that. They're putting food on the table and a roof over the head of those kids. And secondly, most kids would not want to watch anything if mom and dad were giving a seminar while they were watching it. So it's a tough question. I mean, if a kid were simply to sit down and all day watch Disney stuff that was made before 1950, I think that would be a problem. That would be the same kind of cultural, I don't hesitate to use the word indoctrination, but that people had when they were originally watched. I suppose part of it is that most people are diversifying their portfolio of culture. They're watching contemporary stuff and they're watching other kinds of things, and they may even hopefully be hearing conversations about this sort of thing. So I don't know. Yes, in the best of possible worlds, all of these things would be filled with teaching and learning and all the rest of it. But we obviously don't live in that world.
In the last minute we have with you, it's been about a month now since Disney Plus has offered their streaming service. This is a really, really deep archive. Disney's been making movies for a better part of a century. What are you seeing with this offering?
Well, you're right. They've got a content that goes back to the 1920s. They've got the Disney Channel. They've got Disney. They've got the Simpsons. They've got Marvel and all the rest of it. And they are not going to quit. They're not going to take away big chunks of that. Disney's launch has been pretty successful, though they had some ugly first days. But in the end, I think it's good that we now have easy access to the entire run of a company that was very important to framing the consciousness of an entire country for nearly a century. Now you can pay $6.99 a month and you can go look at that whole history of what exactly they were saying when they were shaping our consciousness. And I guess you can draw your own conclusions.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
It's always so much of a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Bob Thompson teaches mass communications and media studies at Syracuse University. He's the founding director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture. Just ahead, we look at President Trump's impeachment inquiry and the trial ahead in the Senate. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.